The rock band Ash from Northern Ireland is going to have fun. That's the plan, period. Goldfinger from the album 1977, released in 1996, propelled the band to global success. Originally a cover band for Iron Maiden tunes with the bold name Vietnam, they picked Ash because it was the first word they liked in the dictionary. Again, bold, confident, like the lyric from the track Orpheus. Yeah, that summer I did nothing, just sleeping, thinking, hanging around. Sounds good to me. Their new album, released today with much juvenile fanfare, is called Kablammo. But in our studio, frontman Tim Wheeler is soft-spoken, a young man who carries an odd wisdom from his wild metalhead days. Coming of age in the middle of Northern Ireland's political troubles, his wisdom? Have fun, make people happy, and don't burn out.
I guess, you know, it was a political, very political time to grow up in, and music was a real escape for that. I do remember there was, like, Megadeth came to Northern Ireland, and he said something on stage, and instantly it divided the audience, and I think it caused a riot, actually. Oh. I guess the whole point of music was that was a place where people could go to escape, you know, the troubles, So it didn't really work when, like, people came from different countries and started to try to preach about it without sort of fully understanding the situation. For us, music was a way of, like, bringing people together escaping from the troubles.
So artistically, a liberation, the Good Friday Agreement and all of that.
Yeah, we played with U2. We did a concert that sort of helped push through the referendum that set up the Good Friday Agreement because it was looking quite dicey at the time. I think it was the politician John Hume, who went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize with David Trimble. He called up Bono and asked if they could try to do an event to sort of help push through, like, the positive vote. We did a joint concert, and it was really amazing.
In many ways, you know, you went from an outward sort of symbolic musician to someone very, very introspective.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I made an album, Lost Domain, last year, which is about losing my father to Alzheimer's. So that was definitely, like, the most personal record I've ever made. You know, it was a very cathartic thing to make as well.
And what was it like, you know, parents following your career? It's, you know, I mean, it's all built on memory and their judgments and I'd rather have you be a lawyer and maybe you should be an accountant and not a rock and roll singer. And you did that on stage and you lit, you know, instruments on fire and that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
To lose those powerful memories in your own father.
Yeah, he was a great supporter of the band, actually. They were a little bit out of touch in a lot of ways, but as soon as we started getting success, then they got really behind it. You know, I think they really enjoyed it. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it's definitely hard to lose one of my biggest supporters.
You walked away from the sort of album band rat race at a certain point.
Yeah.
Why step back in?
Well, I guess it was, 2007, we announced that we were never going to make another album. The way iTunes had blown up and, you know, people were downloading single tracks, I really thought that the single was the future. So we did a subscription service single series, like 26 singles in 1 year. And it was very challenging, but it was a great way of connecting. But since then, I kind of fell back in love with the album myself, especially with collecting vinyl. And, you know, it's sort of seen the album bounce back it probably is still the best way to deliver a body of work. And, you know, when it works, it really works. So we decided to make another one.
And all you Irish guys are novelists and poets. And the album is kind of like the novel.
That's
the
right,
novel
yeah.
of music.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. At least, a lot of great short story writers out of Ireland as well. So it could be like a nice short story collection too.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. What song, what cuts on this album will fans think of as a stretch? And what cuts do you think fans will think of as like, oh yeah, they're back to...
Well, I think the opening track, Cocoon, is like straight up, it's kind of like us doing our Ramones, Buzzcocks, kind of loving, full energy, mostly free chords, high tempo, hyper melodic.
Close apart the walls,
There's a track called Free, which I think is going to be our next single, and it's I'm very proud of the lyrics and the melodies. I think they soar really nicely.
In the pool of half-remembered dreams, how long have I been submerged in sleep? I want to be free to run.
I think it's always been kind of hard for us to get slower tracks across to our fans. I think fans like us most when we're raging and fast. So I think this time we've really nailed it with the slower tempo songs because I think they're very strong songs in their own right.
And you know, you've lived a huge transformation in your country's life. You've lived the flying V going from being like the cutting edge of like out there. To a nostalgia piece.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, you probably have like 60-year-old, 70-year-old guys coming up to you going, Edward of the Ooze.
Yeah. I think maybe the only person brave enough at the time was Lenny Kravitz. He was rocking in a really good retro way. I did talk to the people at Gibson, and, you know, there was definitely a few years where sales of Flying V was being driven by me playing it.
Really?
Yeah. That's what they told me. So I was like, that was amazing. But I love it particularly because it was designed in like 57, like during kind of space race kind of times.
And yeah. Tim Wheeler, vocalist and guitarist for Ash. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Ash's album Kablamo is available today. To hear Tim play two songs in our studio, go to thetakeaway.org.
In the time stop for me, I was on the slide, drinking in the lobby bar.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.